Lowe's knows that free makes everything better. That's why our rewards members get free standard shipping on the things they need and want, starting at Silver Key status every day. Savings for rewards members add up fast, so why wait? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help, you save. Not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
It's the Eat, Sleep, Elite, Repeat podcast, back at it again, lighting the fucking beam in your goddamn podcast feed every week.
Light the beam.
I feel like I'm going to get sued by whatever the fucking sports team that is. All right. All right. So I completely lost my, you know, how I normally have like a we get into it question for you. I completely lost what I had this week. So I think I'm just going to roll straight into the usuals, but. We're back again. There was more wrestling this week. There was some good wrestling this week. There was a huge fucking match announced this week for next week, which we'll talk about. But
what the fuck's probably... the build? I'm sorry.
Wait. Who is this guy, Charlie? I've never heard of him before. He wrestles in Mexico.
What
I've never
is
heard
the story,
bro. What is Mexico? I've never heard of wrestling. Anyway, where even is Mexico? Where is this guy wrestling?
We had to fucking chirp about it. But yes, no, that will be huge. That I'm excited to get into that next week for sure.
I walked right into that one, honestly. But you got me with that one. I had no idea you were going to even hit that. I was so into the intro, I didn't even notice that I was like, anyway. Oh, yeah. So other than that fucking nonsense, which, of course, you know, you guys know my arch enemy is the rest of the IWC, you know, like, but, yeah, I mean, so actually, you know what, there's my pre-question, because it's not, you know, I mean, it's, we'll talk about it. We'll just skip that when we talk about next week's matches, because I'll just hit it now. Like, how excited are you for Vikingo versus Kenny?
I think for one, being the return to Kenny Omega,
other than the build, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, of course. What's the story? But that has been my favorite thing on social media the past 24 hours is people kind of mocking that, because there was actually some sentiment about that. Like, people were trying to get at AEW, like, oh, what's the build? What's the story? And, you know, I think they announced Cody versus Ludwig Kaiser, and all the replies were, what's the build? What's the point of this match? And
I was like, here's a story for you. Look at the fucking Meltzer's rankings, or the IWC or the PWI rankings, and notice how both of these guys, I think, are in the top 10 on all of those lists.
Exactly. But it's one of those things. They tried to get this match in 2021, wasn't able to happen, and the time lined up perfectly. I can't believe it's going to happen. And we know AEW, they're going to give it the time. It's going to get a fat amount of fucking time. And they're going to go out there and deliver, hopefully, and most likely, the best match we've had on AEW television this year. And it's going to be beautiful.
And maybe this is a stretch, but maybe the best AEW television match of all time.
It very well, the potential is there that it could be. And, you know, we sit here now. I think one of the things is, I kind of talked about it a second ago, but Kenny Omega's return to singles action. This has been something we've kind of been talking about recently on the show, too, is like, it seems like they're leaning a little more towards that, with Don Callis being upset, and we'll get into it, but at the end of Dynamite this week, you know, it sounded like Kenny was the first one that's like, I don't know about all this. So, yeah, I'm very excited about it. I think it will be, in all intents and purposes, a dream match between especially these two individually talented performers. So yeah, I mean, where's your excitement for it?
I was saying, I don't know how long ago this was on the podcast, there's an episode y'all can go back and find in the recent episodes, where I was saying that they should try and get Vikingo for an episode of Dynamite, because they were bringing in, at the time we didn't have Bandido, and I don't even know if Rush was confirmed to be signed yet. Like, we had a couple of guys that got brought in like really close period that were really top wrestlers that were working in other companies at the time. who ended up like Konosuke. I was afraid of us not get. There was like several guys that might have been like, you know, that WWE might, you know, have snatched up that I was like hoping that AEW would get. And I was hoping we could maybe go that way with Vikingo, you know? So for me, this is like, this has like, I've been, this has been like a, in my head build for a while now. You know what I mean? Like, it was just when, not if, you know? So
they're going to go out there and they want to put on a show. So
needless to say, like very high. I'm through the roof for this. This is maybe, it's weird. I didn't know this match was going to get booked, but it's been one of my most anticipated matches of this year already, even though I did have no idea it was going to happen. In my back of my head, I was like, if that happens, oh my God, you know?
When we saw that little, that subtle tweet like a day before where Tony Khan was like, I'm going to announce a dream match on Rampage, my mind started flowing. I was like, I was instantly thinking some people on the roster, but I did not, for some reason, this didn't cross in my mind. And
I thought like, just because Tony Khan doesn't really use that terminology all that often when he's talking publicly. So I was thinking it must mean somebody international, you know what I mean? Just because there's too many people that they already have access to with their relationships with Impact and New Japan, you know what I mean? Like, not that they have access, but, you know, we've had Aussie Open there recently in Ring of Honor, so that tells you where the relationship is at. It's obviously pretty good, you know, so.
You know, this match is so big that it genuinely could have main evented Forbidden Door. And I know Forbidden Door is not between those two promotions, but I'm starting to think Forbidden Door is going to open up to a little more than just AEW and New Japan. I think we're going to see some other things. Not American.
Talk more about that in news, yeah, I think.
Not right? American, yeah, wrestling so. Companies, but this, I think this match is that level. So, yeah, all in all, we had a
Why
fun
couldn't
week.
We have an Impact star? I mean, they would have to have some dealings with another company.
Yeah, I don't know
probably.
How the Impact I think that's all over. They're the cross promotion that those guys had for a little bit. I think that's all over.
Oh, I just mean that there are people that work in both Impact and AEW, which
is
totally
we talked
true.
About it last week. Chris Bay and Ace Austin would fit very well to be Swerve's new hitmen. So
yeah, so I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're like connected, but there's definitely like, there's not like bad blood, I don't think. I don't know. I don't know shit, but to, not to spend too much time in the opening, because I just was, that match is just, I, you know, it's going to be insane. But yeah, so before we get into the rest of the stuff and our favorites and all that stuff, because, you know, we always like to start off an episode of this podcast with some positivity. If this just so happens to be the first episode that you all are listening to and you like that little flavor we had there at the beginning, you know, a little bit of a tease for you to see what the rest of the show might possibly be like. Then make sure you guys follow and or subscribe on whatever podcast platform you happen to be listening to this on, be that Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you know, any of the other, you know, podcast platforms out there. You know, there's a, what's the other thing you can do? This is the part I should know how to, I should be a better host, but, what is the other thing that they do on Apple, I think it is, right?
It's pretty much just that we are under the Connect program. So, as far as I know, maybe it's higher quality. I don't know the specifics, but yeah, I mean, if you guys are partnered, if you guys are subscribed to the Apple Connect, we are a part of it. So
don't want to bury Apple. You know, they gave us that opportunity. So I guess we have that opportunity. I guess we should at least say something about it. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, that's, you know, I don't. Make sure you follow us and the podcast on Twitter. You can follow me at Bane Duke. It's BaneDuka at Charlie. Sorry, at Charlie. It's at Charlie with an X instead of an A for Charlie. And in the podcast feed is, or I guess I should say, you can get to the podcast feed from there. Man, I'm jumping all over the place. But you can follow us at Eat Sleep Elite on Twitter as well for the podcast. You know, tweet us there, hit us with the mailbag, hit us with the you suck, get a better podcast, hit us with the you know, the who the fuck is Vikingo, what's the story, you know, make sure
what
you tweet that
is the story. Yes, no,
make sure you tweet at Tony Khan, what's the story, hashtag Eat Sleep Elite. No, don't do that anyway. And yeah, so and make sure you tweet at Tony Khan, hashtag light the beam. That's what you're going to tweet.
Hashtag
Tony.
Light the beam. You know, yeah, and I think it's evens this week, right? So I'm jumping in.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're getting to our favorites. So that means it's gone on you there. Bud,
all
pal,
right.
Chief. So, oh, wait. Are we in Canada, bud, pal, chief?
We are
chief
in Canada, and AEW is going to be in Canada a lot this year. And if this crowd was any indication, oh, my God. There's no need to ask what's the story here. I'm sorry. We had the House of Black against the Elite and the Jericho Appreciation Society.
Are you sure? Has there been a story?
Hey, man. There's been 18,000 different stories. However, my favorite story came after this match, and that was Riz Lord Daniel Garcia trying to, you know, show Julia Hart what's up, but we'll get into that later. No, this match was fucking awesome, right? They really gave the hometown Winnipeg boys the spotlights that they deserved in this match, even including them teaming up together at some points when it made sense, especially because, you know, I've said this before, but Brody King in this trios division, Garrett, he feels like he's booked like a fucking monster, and he was this night.
That's every match. That's been my note. He seems like a fucking absolute, like a menace, a behemoth.
He feels like a world champion, and I they teased it up last year. Remember, we had Brody King and Jon Moxley, right?
It's like when you let Brock Lesnar get the championship in your 2K My Rise. Like you're not getting it back. It's gone. At least in like one of the
and
old games,
and
you know?
Brody King is being booked like a top level monster in the company right now, and I'm perfectly okay with it. So here we go. This match, so much happened here, right? There were so many like one-offs and so many little spots here. I thought all nine people looked really good here, which I guess is what you want at the end of the day, right? And I felt the emotion a little bit of having, you know, Don on the call with Jericho and Kenny, especially the second face-off they had with each other. When that crowd just blew up and then those guys were just throwing like the fisticuffs, you could feel it almost in Don Callis' voice, like just how cool this is. And, you know, when they probably started this company, this is probably something that they threw around like, you know, hey, man, when we get to Winnipeg, you already know we're going to have to face each other. It's probably they might have been something even when they were talking about making this company. You know,
this was an idea that came to me a while back. I was like, bro, it'd be awesome if they had them both face. Because we didn't know, one, when the Canada show would be, and we figured it'd be pretty close because they kept talking about it so much, but yeah, it ended up being much later, obviously. They obviously had to book it and stuff, and they had stuff already scheduled. But then it also, as we got closer, I was like, oh, Kenny's back. He would be just so perfect. Even if it's just one-off match. You know, the last time they wrestled was in New Japan, you know what I mean? Like, so, or what, right, I think. I'm pretty sure. No, he won it off Moxley, so yeah.
It was very nice to see. And so we'll kind of hit some of the moments here. I kind of want to cover the end of this match. And, you know, basically once Jericho and Omega, that second face-off really got going, is when we started kind of closing in on the end of the match here. Omega ended up connecting him with the Terminator dive. The Bucks wiped out the House of Black with some dueling dives. Garcia and Guevara cut off the Bucks as Garcia hit a huge suplex on Nick. Guevara connected with the Spanish Fly on Matt. God, Matt and Sammy, they always kind of, you know, every single time I was like, it almost feels like they teach each other some stuff. King teased the dive off the top, but Omega and Jericho cut him off with a double superplex. And that was that superplex I was talking about the fans just loved. And seeing them work together in that moment made so much sense to me. Jericho responded with a code breaker on Omega for a two. We then cut backstage, and we see the Blackpool Combat Club and the Dark Order still brawling. Excalibur drops that Eva Luna was taken to the hospital. It seems a little random at the time, but it came back into play. Omega got the knees up to avoid a lion salt. Matt hit Garcia with a locomotion Northern Lights, as did Guevara. The Bucks tried a Meltzer driver, but Jericho laid out Nick with a code breaker in midair. Picture perfect shooting star press by Guevara on Matt. King breaks that up. King then squashed Garcia and Guevara with corner cannonballs. God, those look so vicious. As King then tossed Guevara to Jericho, as the House of Black wanted the hometown boy. Jericho tried to fight them off, but was spiked with Dante's Inferno. Omega breaks it up. Jericho got a bat shot on King with referee when Aubrey was turned. Guevara wiped out the Elite with a shooting star to the floor. King kicked out at two. Jericho wound up for a Judas Effect, but ate a roundhouse kick by Malachi. Jericho fell into a Garcia tag as he was planted with the Dante's Inferno to eat the pin. I thought all in all, this match was so much fun. Even the Kenny Omega, I didn't cover it, but Kenny Omega and Buddy Matthews, again, that their styles are just so beautiful together. When those guys got going with each other, I loved it. Malachi and Kenny, to me, is still one of those singles matches I'm really hoping we see. If especially now that we're returning, hopefully, to Kenny singles action. I think that's more possible now than it was, you know, a couple months back. Real quick, after the match, Jake Hager hits the ring, was beaten down by the House of Black. The Blackpool Combat Club and Dark Order brawled out from the backstage with Silver and Reynolds being taken out. Hangman Page finds himself in the middle of the ring alone against Moxley, Claudio, and Yuta. The Elite jumped behind him for backup. Page didn't realize this as the crowd were freaking the fuck out. The Combat Club retreats. The final shot was Hangman Adam Page slowly turning to see Omega and Bucks. And we never get to see his reaction. And wow, this is one of those endings that, you know, when AEW first launched, we would get some endings like this and people would just eat this shit up. They haven't done something like this in a while. And holy fuck, did it deliver. And Garrett, I think it confirms our theory of the Elite versus Blackpool Combat Club is probably going to be some of the big summer runs here. And those matches are going to be stupid. But what did you think of the match?
We just got Blood and Guts. I think we just found out what Blood and Guts is going to be. I think basically, you know, like I hope that the women still get one. I hope they just do two. I mean,
I hope so too.
Why can't they? You know what I mean? I know it's supposed to be a big blow off, but like you could have two. I know it'll feel a little bit like when there's WWE's Hell in a Cells that they did for a while, but those could have worked if they did them properly. They just never mattered. You know what I mean? It felt like anyway.
This was perfectly built up. Like, if you watched the episode of BTE before this as well, like, it,
oh my god, I love when they do this shit.
Yeah, like they're layering all the stuff in there perfectly. Did you ask me a question? I'm sorry, I probably blew past it.
No, I was just saying, what are your thoughts on the match, and then thoughts on the post angle, because that's something
I was trying to figure out how you framed it. Like, yeah, the post angle. So I was just trying to figure out what I was talking about around, because I have obviously got notes, but I'm not going to talk mostly about the match, because I think you pretty much said everything that I was going to say anyway. But there was a Subway Sammy chant at one point because of what he said in the promo earlier in the night. that was pretty funny. I thought the middle section of the match itself was super well structured. I just wanted to say that about the match really quickly. So Hangman being saved by the Elite, yeah, like it does feel like it's answered a question that we've had ever since the Hangman versus Kenny match, which I think we would have gotten this payoff a lot sooner if Kenny hadn't had to go get all those surgeries, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we've needed this for a while. And Charlie, you know who else is a part of the Elite and is coming back like in like 2 weeks? That's Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, bye-bye.
So, and the last thing that Adam Cole, baby, did was attack the Elite. So I'm just saying, you know?
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff you could do with that, you know? So I'm just really excited. You know what? I'm going to say the thing I say 15 times a week, Charlie, on this podcast. Just, I'm really excited to see where they go with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't really have like a whole lot of thoughts. I'm really glad this is, I wasn't expecting this to be the direction, and I'm really glad this is what we decided to do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What else can you say, you know?
Exactly. It was so much fun.
But yeah, I guess
talk about sending the crowd home happy,
dude. But sending the home, this was, you know what it is? This was a perfect example of people should want to tune in next week that tune into this episode now, you know what I mean? To see what the hell's 1,000% going on.
What happened? I mean, did he, what happened when he turned around?
Do you think they should have done something on Rampage?
No,
no one watches it anyway.
I wouldn't have touched it on Rampage.
That's fair. All right, well. Rewind all the way back to the very, very beginning of the show, because that's where we're going, because we're doing a little reverse bookending here, because promo ended, or it's promo, Dynamite ended with a really good segment, a good go home angle, if you will, or a good to the end angle, whatever you call that, but it also opened up with an angle that you have been suggesting might be happening for a while, and they must have been planting the seeds, and I was just ignoring it. But we got our four pillars finally colliding, Charlie. Not our four pillars. Let me correct, the four pillars.
The AEW's four pillars. Yep.
Yes.
And this was all a part of, so rewind even further back because they collided after. But the beginning of this segment was MJF's re-bar mitzvah, which opened up Dynamite this week, which I think was a good choice. I mean, I think they usually open wrestling shows when they have these things, but sometimes, you know, it works better to just throw it in the middle part of the show where it's, you know, there's a down part, but people like the star that's in it. Anyway, these are all things that wrestling fans that are even casuals know, you know, from just watching. I thought, you know, he looked fucking great in his outfit that he had for this. MJF just fucking eating up the fucking crowd, you know. You know what I thought was interesting? It must have just been because we were in Canada. He was super over there, like babyface over. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, they were loving it.
Which, good, but he ultimately ended up getting the Naboo, obviously, when he needed them to. But it was just really funny watching him try and fight them a little bit. And he was like, ah, fuck it, I'll just wait until I'm actually saying stuff that's heelish. You know what I mean? Like, and then, because they just wanted him to do it. And then out of nowhere, Charlie, we get the music of Jungle Boy hitting. And that was the first one that we got. And then after that, I believe we got, I think Sammy came out next. And then we got Darby. And Darby got a fucking massive pop. Because this is the first time we've seen Darby since he lost the TNT Championship, isn't it? He's the reason why this happened. He said he was gonna make a statement on Dynamite, right? But this ended up being a part of this segment
last week on Rampage.
God, that's so brilliantly built in now. If you watched Rampage, oh, it's so good. Anyway, I love long term storytelling. People don't get it. AEW does it all the time. They're just not paying attention. Anyway, I know that's not that long term, but like that's a seed that was planted that you might not have noticed, but there it was. Anyway, and as soon as Jungle Boy came out, he started tearing MJF down. Because MJF was basically talking, you know, about how he's like everything in the company before they all came out. He was like, oh, I'm the best. You know, this AEW is me, all that. I don't know exactly what he was saying before then. But basically, this was a what I described it as in my notes, Charlie, was like, okay, so first of all, I should get to... the big thing, which was that he asked them what they were all doing there, and they said they wanted a title shot all in unison, which I thought that was awesome. I don't know if they practiced that, but that was awesome.
It was really good.
And but I thought this segment itself was actually a fantastic dismantling of MJF's character. They hit a lot of points that I think, like, if you're a fan of the show and you watch MJF and you're like into the kayfabe of what MJF is as a character, they hit all the points that you would to want to make it a compelling promo. It was just split across three different people, which makes them all retroactively look really good. You know what I mean? So I thought that was good. They were all on the same page, which makes me think this is kind of going to be like a 3-on-1 feud almost. You know what I mean? Like, and not in a traditional like fatal 4-way feud. They're all not going to be on a team, but they're all going to want to win. They'd all rather have one of the three of them win than him. You know what I mean? I think is how it's going to feel, you know, like,
I can see that.
I don't think they're, I think they're still all going to be all way for themselves, but it feels already like it's going to be him versus three people. You know what I mean? Which is basically what this was, Charlie. This was a 3-on-1 promo battle. They were all on one team and he was on the other team and they were all taking shots. And yeah, they took some small shots at each other, but for the most part, you know, look, there's two like long-term feuds that could come out of this too, Charlie, that I was thinking about. You could get out of this, and I would love if this is the direction they go. I hope that out of this 4-way feud, we get two singular feuds, and I hope we get Sammy versus Darby, because we need that, and because imagine the match they're going to have. Oh,
those
my God.
Those guys put their lives on, I mean, every wrestler, but to an extent, those guys really need that whatever match. It takes.
I know it's a scary match, and it'd be fucking painful to watch, and closing our eyes for every spot, but we need that match. And I think that fucking a singles match between Jungle Boy right now at the level that he's getting to and with MJF at the level he's at right now, I think that's money. So, what thoughts on that? Because holy shit.
I mean, yes, the break-off matches that we could have in between this are beautiful. And yeah, last week when all three of those segments went back-to-back on Rampage, we were talking on this show like, hey, I think they did that on purpose. And, you know, here we are. And I think they look like they all belonged. And you said it best. They were all calling out MJF shit. Because MJF has had the most protection. You know, I mean, that's the biggest ironic thing about all of it, which was so nice. I mean, thankfully, the crowd was chanting Wardlow at him. I liked that. Doing a Wardlow. But yes, this four-way could seriously shape up to be something very, very special. And I love the lines that Jungle Boy hit about, you know, Max, have you even worked on Dark? Have you even worked on Rampage? It's shit like that. It's like, bro, tell him, because you guys have.
No, Meltzer said that's burying the company. You can't do that.
Well, I don't know. Hey, to me, I like that line because it shows that, I mean, we know why MJF's reason is because he's not a mark. That's what he keeps saying it as. But I would love nothing more than this to force him to maybe get booked on those shows and he's all pissed off. Like, if he shows up at the next Universal taping.
That's I expect that to be what, right? Like, maybe we'll get one MJF. I hope
the next
match.
Universal taping literally kicks off with an MJF match and he is so pissed off he doesn't want to fucking do it. And he's like, you can't make me.
But what, and, you know, I think will like happen that, if we get those matches, Jungle Boy versus Darby on Dynamite. They might do the other one on Dynamite too, but probably that one goes on Rampage. Yeah.
Oh, especially if they're building towards a major program at Double or Nothing, which I think they're going to do. I mean, I don't think this is just going to be something they
because with four people, that's, you could get 12 weeks out of that. You know, the other feuds are going to be what struggles, the actual singles and
you know,
tags.
Even last week, I was kind of saying, I think the only guy that needs a little bit more build up right now was Sammy, but I think Sammy covered pretty well in this promo, you know. Because Sammy was, he had such a good year last year at the beginning of the year.
It's weird. I think it worked out for him, man. He's as over as a heel as he ever was as a baby.
Did you kind of feel the way he said the stuff about Jericho? I can't help but feel, I think he wants to get away from that, man. Like,
No.
I think a little bit of his real personality slipped in there, and he doesn't want to do this shit anymore with Jericho.
I mean, I think, I agree. I think it was weird that they just shoved him in there. I think it was purely like, I think I hit it on the head a while back. I think they wanted to get the perfect eights, you know what I mean, for that title reign, you know?
Yeah. I mean, him joining the Appreciation Society when he did was great.
I think if he wanted to probably do that so that he could service that story, because he was just a background character, then he really wasn't doing anything, you know. I thought you were saying like his run where he was a babyface and then had to go heel. This current run with the Jericho Appreciation Society, I think he was good in it, but I agree. He should probably get away from it. But I mean,
I think he's good in it too. I think he just wants to be done with it. Maybe. I think maybe he's over that part of his career.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think when a wrestler is usually wrestlers are right about that kind of stuff. So I don't disagree. I'm just saying that I think I just don't know how else he would get booked on TV with how many different acts they have right now. You know, it's tough. I'm not saying anything about Sammy.
Out. Yeah.
Too much. There's just too much to, you know, we know what he can do. We know what Darby can do. They can both be the most exciting thing on any episode of Dynamite. We've seen them be both of them be it, I should say. But, you know, like, but you can't, there's not always time with Tony. You know what I mean? Like, he's got other stuff he wants to build, you know?
Hey, man. So that happens when you're building so many stories.
Charlie, we spent 30 minutes on favorites. Oh, God, help us.
That's the way it's supposed to be. So, yeah, that was our favorites this week, guys. I think those are by far the two biggest segments this week, not excluding the massive TNT title match that we had on Rampage. That was awesome. We'll get into that shortly. But in the meantime, real quick, we got a little bit of news. We got some Ring of Honor results, which, you know, we'll spend a little bit of time on a couple of the matches, but most of them are just kind of results here. But yeah, so we got some news. So Sarah Stock has officially joined AEW as a producer and a coach. She was previously a coach at the WWE Performance Center from 2015 to 2020. From what I saw, she was mainly working with the women. And she was furloughed from the company from the COVID, you know, during all their COVID cuts. And yeah, so, I mean, hey, those are some good years to be a trainer in that company because of how many great women's matches they produced. And, you know,
That's the vibe I've gotten. She was very involved in why a lot of those women's matches were such bangers. So, I mean, hey.
All for bringing in more talent.
You know, and it would make sense if somebody like that had been, like, maybe consulting recently. Because I don't know if you would agree with this, Charlie. I think the women have really, like, I mean, the match quality was always good. But I think in the last, like, 6 months, the women have stepped it up significantly. In AEW.
It's much more frequent now. The big time matches. And I mean, there is a lot of common denominator in Jamie Hayter, but we're getting a lot more frequent, you know, really high quality matches. So, and I think, yeah, I wouldn't doubt that this is something that's been going on more. So, yeah, welcome to AEW, Sarah Stock. That was one of Hell three yeah. this week. Three AEWs. That was the only one that's not talent.
Elite.
I thought I'd toss this in here. Christopher Daniels, as we know, he is the head of talent relations for AEW. He said in a recent interview that the relationship between AAA and AEW is still going very strong, and they're in a good position. And he said, yeah, Conan and Tony Khan had a meeting, and, you know, everything, they squared away all the miscommunications and all that. So I think that's a sign of why we're seeing what we're seeing now is, you know, AAA and AEW have a good partnership still going. So we've been covering here the New Japan Cup. The semifinals are going on. And so, Sonata just recently defeated Mark Davis, which you might be thinking, Mark Davis, thought he lost. Yes, he did. He did lose to Will Ospreay. But Will Ospreay popped his shoulder, so he went back to, he had to leave the tour. It's the second time someone's ever left the New Japan Cup tour. And he had to leave it to go get his shoulder checked out and hoping the best for Will. But they kind of turned this into a Mark Davis underdog story. He ended up beating Evil the other night, which is pretty cool. And he ended up losing to Sonata, which makes sense because Sonata is no longer a part of LIJ. Sonata has joined Just Four Guys. It is now Just Five Guys, another one of the newer factions with Tai Chi. And now Sonata is officially a part of it. I've said it for a long time, Garrett. I would not be surprised if Sonata finally got the rub to be in the world championship contenders. Like, not just a one-off match like he's done with Okada before.
Oh, yeah. I could see
Sonata winning the big belt.
Yes, we've been saying for a while there needs to be a new guy that can carry the title so that Okada's not champion all the time, you know?
Yep.
Sonata could be that guy. That's a name I've been hearing for years now, so, you know.
And now he's, you know, in the new faction, and, you know, the other match that happened last night was David Finlay and Tama Tonga, and that was not a good match. I'm just going to be straight up.
Put the belt on Finlay. Do it, cowards.
This was a very, very rough match.
Have Finlay beat Kenny Omega for his title, cowards.
You could do that for sure. David Finlay is officially the new leader of Bullet Club. So, yeah, we got to see where they run with it. And I've been enjoying this cup. I've been catching all the matches, but I haven't, I should say the cup matches. I have been catching them all. But I've been missing some of the beginning ones. Like last night, I didn't catch any of the beginning ones. But yeah.
So I say
last night. It was really technically two nights ago in Japan.
I wish the AEW had the pull with New Japan to make that match with Vikingo a title match. Oh, that'd be so good.
Oh, imagine.
Oh, anyway.
Kylan King, she was recently on AEW about 2 months ago. She has signed an exclusive contract with Impact Wrestling. So good on Impact for bringing her in. She's really good. And
yeah, been on my radar for a while. I'm shocked she's not an AEW wrestler, to be honest with you. But yeah.
And Tony Khan doesn't see it, I guess. An AEW wrestler this week to win their tag titles. So Taya Valkyrie lost the tag titles in Impact. So Kylan King's new partnership there, they won that. So Impact's always done some pretty good stuff.
That's cool. So she was on Impact and AEW this week. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Danhausen suffered a torn pec at AEW Revolution. This kind of broke the waves on Thursday by Danhausen.
He tore his peckhausen?
Tore his peckhausen. Unsure of how long he'll be out of action. No one knows if it was a low-grade or a high-grade tear yet. injury will keep him out for a couple months.
He gets such horrific injuries for a guy that, I'm just going to be honest, that doesn't wrestle that often. It's fucked.
It's very unlucky. And yeah,
didn't he come into AEW with a broken arm or leg or something? Like,
it was something. And, you know, I hope he's only sidelined, like, off TV maybe for another week or two, like, until he gets a surgery. But I'm hoping as he's healing, he's still a member of the roster. Because, like you just said, we didn't see him wrestle all that often. He would still get his stuff in. So I'm hoping they figure that out. Real quick, I'm going to fly through this because I wasn't sure if we wanted to cover this. But AEW just ran their first house rules. And again, records matter in AEW. So I'm assuming this counts. I don't know if it's going to be on Dark. I don't know what they're doing with that. I'm just going to fly through this. All right. Ethan Page defeated Sean Dean. Hook then defeated Ethan Page. Jeff Jarrett, who came out to a monster pop, defeated Brian Pillman Jr. Ruby Soho defeated Hollywood Haley. Then Tony Khan made a little promo thanking everyone. Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin defeated The Butcher and the Blade. QT Marshall defeated the debuting for this company. He's been a producer for a long time. Pat Buck. So Pat Buck got a match. That was pretty cool. Britt Baker defeated Anna Jay. That was her return. TNT champion Powerhouse Hobbs defeated Christopher Daniels to retain. So again, is this count as a title retention? Like when we're breaking down Hobbs's reign? I don't know. John Moxley and Claudio defeated Lee Moriarty and Big Bill. So, well, if all those show up on Dark in 2 weeks, I'm sorry I just spoiled it all for you. But, yeah. We don't know how this is going to work. This is new. This is new territory. So,
do people really get mad over Dark spoilers, though? Let's be
no, honest. There's no way they do. In every match there, it was pretty obvious who was going to win. The Best of the Super Juniors 30 has been announced, and it will run May 12th to May 28th. A lot of hope that AEW shares some of the roster. I was kind of running through some online forums, and people are really hoping, and one of the quotes I saw, they're like, just, I really hope AEW is not stingy with their roster because they want some of the people here. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess to each their own. No, but it would make sense. Impact wrestlers will come here, AEW, you name it. Ring of Honor now, most likely. I'm sure Blake Christian hopefully gets a run in this, and he's technically Ring of Honor. So, yeah, the Super Juniors is always a fucking blast. And just is there an AEW name that just immediately springs to the top of your head? You're like, oh, I could see him doing this. Is there one that he's involved a lot? Oh, my God. That would be huge. I don't know. When's Double or Nothing? It might be right.
Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. One that immediately springs to my brain that would just signify AEW is if they send over Top Flight, have them both in the tournament. Darius and Dante, I think, would be huge. And I don't know if they're going to be involved in significant storylines then. Again, but they are involved in a storyline.
Ooh, because I think they would use him better for this for that tournament. Because he's small enough. Throw fucking Brian Cage in there.
Damn it.
No, seriously. He's small enough.
Damn it.
I'm not being a dick. He would be considered a super junior in Japan.
No, he wouldn't.
Kenny Omega was a junior in Japan.
When he was junior sized. Yes. Kenny put on some weight, even though it's really just, you know, changing your hair. AEW announced Forbidden Door 2 as part of their summer Canadian tour. So it will be happening June 25th. It's about a month after Double or Nothing. Basically, June 28th, July 5th, July 12th, July 14th, and July 15th, they're all in fucking Canada. So, awesome for everyone, the Canadian good brothers.
Wait, Charlie, did the Bucks ever win the big titles in Japan?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, they were heavyweights at the end of the run.
Okay, because I knew they had the juniors at one point. I just didn't know if they won the big tag.
You could see Matt was, what's the term there? Fuck, bulking season. You could tell Matt was bulking when they were in their heavyweight run. It was kind of cool. You could literally see the physical changes Matt
like
was
going
through.
Did it change how they wrestled at all, or were they still the same?
Nope.
Oh, that's crazy. That means they were really working their ass
100% wrestled still the same. And yeah, Matt, you can't really tell now because he's cut since then. But
oh yeah, he could wrestle.
Matt bulked up pretty fucking fast. Yeah. And it was really cool to see just his progress and his change to want to truly become a heavyweight. And yeah. But that I love those guys in Japan so much.
I should go back and watch some of that stuff.
Kenny Omega said he hasn't had an epiphany over wrestling future yet. Pretty much Kenny is still deciding. Again, I don't think Kenny's going anywhere, but I could be completely wrong. Last but not least, Ring of Honor. So if there's anything...
Okay, Charlie, imagine this. Just hear me out. What if Kenny's last singles match in AEW is Vikingo?
That would be tragic.
Not really, because it'd be a good match to go out on.
Oh, I mean, it would be a good match to go out on. I'd just be very sad. I'd be very sad.
Oh, I understand. Well, you could still go watch him in WWE. Don't lie.
Oh, Kenneth.
Lord Kenneth in the WWE.
I just want to see Kenneth versus Ezekiel. All right, I'm going to run through these ROH results. If there's anything you want to stop on, let me know.
All right.
Claudio Castagnoli defeats Willie Mack. Dante Martin defeats Mike Bennett, and I thought was something a really fun match.
Yeah, no, this is good. Mike Bennett, every time we watch a Mike Bennett match, I'm like, this is what I'm telling, Charlie. I know you're a Mike Bennett fan, but I always talk to you like you're not. Like, I'm like, this is what I'm talking about, man. You know, anyway.
No, spread the truth. Spread your truth!
Exactly. Yeah,
there's been some clips from going viral on, I shouldn't say viral, but making their waves on Twitter from this match. Really, really good highlights here.
Mm-hmm.
Metalik and Blake Christian defeated Ari Daivari and Slim J.
Yeah, but what's the story with that frog splash, though?
Fuck, you got me. I don't know. But Slim J is built different in Ring of Honor. I don't know where the fuck this was on Dark, but hey, I'm here for it.
The J is slimming.
The J is slimming. Metalik and Blake Christian look good as a tag, but yes, apparently they're not going to be a tag for long.
What?
Moving on to a trio. Joe versus Briscoe stuff. Briscoe challenged Tony Nese for this week. And then just some more Mark Briscoe stuff announcing the Reach for the Sky ladder match. They did officially pull it up like it was, they said, this week on AEW Rampage. So they are going to be doing that going forward for Rampage, Ring of Honor stuff. Eddie Kingston jobbed out Jeeves K. Claudio's Coffee took the heat in this match.
Yep.
Lexi Nair interviewed the Trustbusters. Mark Sterling tried to walk away. He tried to like pretty much talk away the losses, but Tavares was pissed off, challenged Metalik and Christian to a trios match if they could find a partner. Proving Grounds match. Athena defeated Hayan, who we learned she was in the ROH tournament in 2020.
Yeah.
Was making some waves, got injured, and now she's back. So I'm assuming she's going to be a part of Ring of Honor going forward.
Two or three women she's faced with that exact same story. And I'm not surprised. I bet there were people that were going hard in those tournaments and stuff like that, trying to get their name out there, and it didn't work out. And then Ring of Honor basically got shut down in the pandemic, you know? So.
And I think we only saw her on Dark once. So,
I remember the name. It stuck out, but it didn't super stick out. You know what I mean? So,
exactly. Lexi Nair was, after the Athena just doing the fucking face slam onto the title. Really good stuff. I love that gimmick.
Yep.
Lexi Nair backstage with Metalik and Christian. Christian kind of doing more of his heartfelt promo, and he's just really excited to be with Metalik again. Air Fox joins him. And they're keeping an eye on the ROH six-man title tonight, is what they said. Beautiful stuff. This is a trio I can really get behind. The last real man, Silas Young, jobs out Marcus Cross, beats his ass.
This was so funny. So we watched this together this week, y'all. I just want to share this with them. We were watching this together this week, y'all, and Silas Young hits the ring. And Silas Young is one of these guys that we peaked at the Ring of Honor when Silas Young was still active in it. And he was one of those guys where we were like, but when we were watching this, I'll let them know. We're just like, first. And then, so, I was okay, like,
do we really need a Silas Young, squash match? But it set up something that wasn't, right? That's all you can ask.
That's what I was getting at. I ended up winning you over by the end. I just thought that was funny. Like, we were both, I was with you, but I was holding my breath because this Ring of Honor hasn't been like that yet. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it didn't, so we're good.
And none other than Shane Taylor interrupts and pretty much claims the challenge for next week. I am rooting for Shane Taylor hard in that. I am a big fan of Shane Taylor. At the recent Ring of Honor pay-per-view, it was Shane and, I believe, something like O'Shawn took on the Swerve in Our Glory, and it was such a fun match. Such a fun match. Lexi Nair interviewed Athena. I thought these two had some really fun chemistry in this interview. Lexi Nair is not afraid to bite back, which I thought was something really nice. I don't know. Lexi Nair in these Ring of Honor promos, she has this certain vibe to her that I'm like, I really buy into.
I wonder if they're just letting her try more stuff out. And then because it's on Ring of Honor, if it doesn't work, they don't have to. I think they're just
on Ring of Honor, the leading promo person.
I like that. That puts her in that position. It makes her feel like more important in the Ring of Honor sense. But like, I just think that it's easier for her to do that than if this was like televised itself. I don't think they'd have her do that either. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be even less likely just because Ring of Honor, if they were trying to build an audience on TV, it would be even more desperate than AEW. I think that's the only reason why AEW doesn't have her do that on AEW. It's because you don't know if it's going to work.
Exactly. And I thought she had really nice chemistry with Athena. And this was all about Athena calling out Yuka Sakazaki. She said she's wrestling in Japan despite being, quote, injured. And that meant Sakazaki was afraid of her. Athena challenged Sakazaki to a title match at Super Card of Honor. This card is shaping up to be something really fun.
Absolutely. It's going to be I'm telling people have been sleeping on these Ring of Honor pay-per-views the last 2 years, dude. They've been pretty good. Like,
just such fun stuff. A six-man tag team championship. The Embassy defeats Dalton Castle and the boys. I thought Castle looked good. I think Bishop Khan is no longer being called Bishop Khan. I think he's just Khan. I think that was a 3-week stint of Bishop Khan. And I actually really like that name. But hey, to each their own. Khan's an easy name to remember too. He looks like a badass. After the match, the Embassy were putting the boots on the boys and Castle. Air Fox, Metalik, and Christian made the save. I'm here for it. I think that'll be a fun six man.
Absolutely.
Trisha Dora defeated Madison Rayne. The Trisha Dora Express has begun. She's 2-0 now, building up that resume. And if Sakazaki doesn't win the title, I would love a program between Adora and Athena.
Absolutely. I'd even say maybe, you know, I don't know if you want to end the Athena reign yet, but if you wanted to, there you go.
She could be a good one. Lexi Nair was backstage with Top Flight. Darius let Matt Taven know ahead of their singles match next week that this kingdom was theirs for the taking. I'm cool with this. This is a fun program. Top Flight versus the Kingdom.
It makes me sad, man, because it makes me feel like the Kingdom could do more on AEW, but whatever.
Yeah, maybe they were always intended to be their core Ring of Honor heels.
No,
I don't know.
Clearly were. That's why they put them on the shelf, and they only used them when they needed like a good match, you know, like, but because they're good TV wrestlers, man. They've been doing it on the, you know, the two of them, Maria and Mike, have been doing this on Impact for years. They would have done. I'm surprised that maybe didn't use them more. They're so perfect for that role. Like, they fit into it in every company they've gone to.
Yeah. Whatever. The tag team debut or re-debut of Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal took on the Outrunners, who neither of us were surprised to see on
who
Ring
neither
of
us could outrun this week.
Yeah, these guys are just they're going to be your you know, your fun little enhancement team that gets beats other enhancement talents. And yeah, Truth Magnum, Turbo Floyd, I mean, hey, no lie, they stick out. I mean, the fact that I remember their name so easily too is it shows what they're doing. I love Daniels and Sydal as a team. I already love it. And that after the end of the match, Aussie Open made their way to the stage, I should say. Kyle Fletcher grabs the mic, sits, you know, pretty much says, hey, we want to be world tag team champions and we're going to ensue a challenge. They accept. There's a couple funny lines about, you know, when you guys won your titles in 2006, I was 7 years old. That made Caprice shriek. It's like, oh, God. You know, like, no. That was pretty good. But Aussie Open versus Daniels and Sydal, I mean, fuck. Count me in, huh?
Absolutely there. Bye.
And then in your pretty, you know, run-of-the-mill main event here, I like the guys main eventing, though. Clark Connors, Wheeler Yuta for the ROH Pure Championship. We had our Dean Malenko, BJ Whitmer, Colt Cabana as the judges. You know, this was a pretty run-of-the-mill ROH Pure match. That, you know, the current state of the belt, they use the rules well. You know, Yuta gets his free little, he gets his one cheap closed fist, then his free closed fist, and then he slowly ends it. The story is, though, after the match, he said the Blackpool Combat Club was the best training academy in wrestling. After beating a New Japan Dojo student, he now wants to graduate to the teacher. He made the challenge official. He wants Katsuyori Shibata. So calling it from, you know, teacher, he wants the head honcho, if you will. So yeah, Wheeler Yuta Shibata, Pure Championship match. Supercard of Honor at this point, just getting stupid. I mean, dude, it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, we talked about it. It's like, if that's where they're going, that's cool. And it gives them plenty of opportunity to wrestle people on Ring of Honor TV in the lead up because we got plenty of time. Shibata, the comeback of Shibata has been one of the best things to watch in wrestling because it went from he's probably never going to wrestle again to he was wrestling Orange Cassidy maybe, and then he was, and now we're going to get him wrestling Wheeler Yuta. I mean, this guy's basically just like, oh yeah, I can wrestle, and I'm only going to wrestle dream matches. So you know, let's do it. Let's go.
You can keep it very clean in a pure match. You keep it very clean in an Orange Cassidy match.
How cool is it that this guy considers Wheeler Yuta somebody that's worth wrestling? That's fucking awesome, man.
I bet when he was, you know, at Wrestling and Strong, he probably took an eye to him and thought, yeah, this guy's awesome. And now look at where he's at in his career. He's got the potential to be one of the bigger stars in our business.
Let me ask you a question. Is this man one of our pillars? Is this man?
Who, Yuta?
Oh, yeah. Is he? If you look at the art on the podcast, what are the names that it says right there?
Ricky Starks, Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta, and Dante Martin.
So the podcast y'all are listening to right now. I was just going to point that out, throwing that out there that we've been on the Wheeler Chuda hype train for quite a while.
I believe we proclaimed those as our pillars in like our third episode too in 2021. So
I would love to go back and like go through and figure out when exactly that was, because that became a staple.
Originally we had five, but we were like, we can't have five, so we took Moriarty out. But you know, we still love the guy.
Well, no, I just said Moriarty was the fifth pillar because I have like sixth, seventh, and eighth pillars in my head. Like the pillars aren't limited to four. It's just that four works for the, you know, the original point that MJF made, you know, but and it also is, it works better, I think, for the graphics, but you know.
Absolutely. So that being said, we got some AEW Dark Elevation results and we had episode
106. We're coming up on 110. Yeah. We don't need anything special, I don't think, for 110, but you know, maybe.
No, that's got to be the MJF match.
No, okay. I'll take it. Hey, you think Elevation? Also, really? You think Elevation? That's like the lowest of the low.
No. I want to see him at the Universal tapings.
You think he's not going to wrestle with Excalibur? You think he's going to let Matt Menard do commentary over him wrestling?
I think he should. And hey, man. The only other person I want to see wrestle on Dark sometime soon is Saraya.
I mean, I'd like to see Saraya wrestle soon. I'm just throwing it out there, you know? Actually, we just got a match with her at the pay-per-view. She's fine, but anyway. So Dark Elevation episode 106, opening up with our queen, Her Highness Ebi Sakura, whose music is just so perfect now.
I love it.
Stretched her ass out with that surfboard, slapped the piss out of her. Let us know that she is our highness, and she hit that diving moonsault, which she just makes look beautiful. And man, Ebi Sakura is just fun to watch. All right, we had actual Terminator Jake Hager, who was roboting his way down to the ring, all the way down to the ring. He took on Levi Shapiro. He protected the hat as he should. Picked up the quick victory, locked him in that whatever that submission was. I don't know what it's called, and I'm afraid to correct the Dark commentators on submissions anymore after Taz on Dark this week. All right, we had Mighty Myra taking on Marina Shafir. God damn, did this start off rough? Bit of a slip. She tossed her around a bit. There was a "put some shoes on" chant, so the crowd's even like, "Dude, come on, we're not feet, we don't like feet in this crowd." So I guess the anti-feet AEW crowd arc has begun. And she
bunch
picked
of
up the
fucking
win.
Liars. No, I'm just
we picked up the win with the big squeeze, which is what I'm calling that now from now on. Which is that's what Matt Menard called it. So it's a big squeeze. And Charlie, we were three matches in, and we were 15 minutes into the show, and I was like, okay, we're going quick, you know, like,
yep, we're cooking.
We had Jack Cartwheel back taking on Brian Cage. This man's going insane, Charlie. He has lost his goddamn mind. He's doing flips, he's doing like handsprings, he's like, I don't even know if I can keep track of all of it. He's all over the place.
Jack Cartwheel is so much fun.
I have to give him a look-see, although I might not be able to after Taz's burial of him on Dark, but I'm sorry, Taz is catching all the strays this week, but anyway, the submission looked good here. Brian Cage is Brian Cage. All right.
The Butcher. Brian Caging, that's for sure.
He was Caging. All right. And the Butcher and the Blade took on Vinny Mastaro and Midas Creed. Paul White is a bit of a film buff with some references to, I think he referenced like Ryan Reynolds here, a little Canada flavor for his buddy Matt Menard there. Menard was going nuts with the "oh yeah" and stuff like that on this episode because of the Canada, you know what I mean? So dragged the lake on him. The light the beam sign. That's why it made it back in this week, because I saw the light the beam sign on this episode of Dark, so it made it in. We had a Ring of Honor Women's World Title Proving Ground match. Athena took on Inder Mundi, and the heel Athena Vortex of Destruction has rolled on. God, stumbling over the words. All right. We had, had Starboy Charlie and Ulamude, I think is how you pronounce it. Ulamude, something like that. Anyway, it's not Ulamude. I know that, but Ulamude. Oh my god, I buried myself. I put the fucking pronunciation in my notes. Fuck me. Anyway, I buried myself.
they hit a Canadian Destroyer, which I was surprised by. Is this Star Boy Charlie guy thing? Is that? They took on the Best Friends. I mean, they lost to the Best Friends.
Hey, the guy's got some sauce, that's for sure.
His gear needs a little bit of work, though, as was noted by the IWC this week.
Oh, I happened to watch this episode with my sister, and she had a actual, like, pop to the gear.
Okay. Maybe it works.
She was like, oh, my God, what is he wearing?
Maybe it makes him stand out. Whatever.
Maybe it does. Maybe for all the wrong reasons. I don't know. But if it popped her, I was like, oh, it's probably popping other people.
Yeah, that's true. And in the main event of the evening, we had the Lucha Brothers taking on the Wingmen's Pretty Peter Avalon and Ryan Nemeth. Phoenix with some Gigabrain selling in this match. Peter's balls got smushed, so sorry about that, Leva. They hit the gory. There was a gory special pile driver clusterfuck that ended this match, and it was glorious. And that was AEW Dark 106. AEW Dark Elevation 106. This was AEW Dark 187. Take us through it, buddy.
All right. AEW Dark 187. We had five matches, so every match got a little bit of time. Dark Order, John Silver and Alex Reynolds defeated the Outrunners. Double duty for them this week and double losses.
You could not outrun them this week.
Riho, hey, defeated Diamante. We all love seeing Riho. I thought this was a pretty fun match, honestly.
Yeah, what it was good. Worth.
That, you know, she eventually hit like a 619 that I thought was really nice. And I just made sure to note that. But yeah, I like Diamante in these roles. Sunny Kiss defeated Terry Kidd very quick. Very, you know, Sunny Kiss, a little squash match. Julia Hart defeated Zoe Lynn. And 19 wins in a row for Julia Hart. Our main event, Action Andretti.
Do you think do something with her? Do you think there's a feud that they could get into? Like, is the Jay... I wish Ty and fucking Anna were available right now, man. Because it'll be a perfect opportunity to do something with her in the JAS. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the plan is for Julia. I mean, yeah, I think she's got a safe little role right now, and we're just kind of doing what they're doing. She got some good music. But our main event, Action Andretti defeated Lee Johnson in a pretty fun match. Cole Carter was out there getting with Lee Johnson. But yeah, I thought these guys had some good chemistry. It felt like a pretty decent main event. These are two guys that, you know, they're in dark right now, grinding their way out of it, and I'm not surprised if we see this match again this year on Dark. And I think, you know, hey, I think these might be two of our mainstays right now, including, you know, just like others, we just hit Diamante, Sunny Kiss, Julia Hart. I think both these guys are going to take advantage of every opportunity you throw in front of them. I like Andretti getting the win, and Floating Neckbreaker was the victory.
Yeah, it was a good match. I thought their timing was a little bit off, but what do I know? You know, I don't know anything.
Yeah,
about
it wasn't. It wasn't like that. Yeah, it wasn't smooth, like buttery. But yeah, I do think these are two guys that hopefully can make some waves this year. Alrighty, so let's jump into Dynamite. We've covered the opening segment. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta defeated Hangman Adam Page, Evil Uno, and Stu Grayson. The story of the match here was Stu Grayson running wild, man. I mean, this guy looked good. The crowd popped.
So good he got signed.
He is our first All Elite Again graphic, which I thought was kind of cool. I always wonder how they're going to do that, if they're just going to announce it or not. But hey, they announced it, so good on him for being the first. And
I mean, they had to in this. They may not become a trend, because they kind of had to in this instance, because there was a big question mark with when they announced him. Like, is he back?
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone wanted to see, like, no offense to Alan Angels, but I think everyone agrees that Alan Angels can go and do something to make himself a bigger star and then come back. I don't think there was that. Stu has already been a known quantity with him and Uno for a while. It's like it felt like he was betraying Uno in a way, you know, like.
Absolutely. And yeah, they're tagged together. The Super Smash Bros. I mean, they've been a tag team for a long fucking time.
And they got one of the cleanest looking finishers I've ever seen. I mean, my God.
Do. And, you know, I think you and I, we've even done like a 40-minute little thing about, you know, how could the Dark Order fix their problems? You know, who could they bring in? At the end of the day, bringing someone in like Stu really does help. And it does fix, hopefully, it brings some of the heat back. I mean, again, this segment had some good heat to it. And I think Stu was a big reason of that. So the trios division should 1000%. You know, it's going to probably feature some big teams right now.
All right, let me throw something at you. Do you think it's possible that Stu saw how much respect Uno got the last few weeks and he actually thought, well, maybe I'll get that as well? You think maybe pushed him? Because I think we both agreed that even though I don't think Uno is like a main eventer, I think Uno could be a mainstay mid-card champion in this company. Like, I thought that's where he was going to be going, but obviously they needed to do something with Stu now, you know?
There is a spot for the Dark Order and people want to root for them. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's catering. No, I'm just kidding.
Ah, shit. No, but yeah, this was really fun. And Stu Grayson with Jon Moxley had some really good stuff. Claudio looked good. Everyone looked good. And pretty much they were beating him down after the match. That's when Silver and Reynolds hit the ring. And we saw how that played into it later in the night. Are we supposed to believe they were just beating the hell out of each other for like an hour?
Yeah. It makes
sense. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Juice Robinson had a little pre-recorded promo.
Juice is fucking loose.
Yeah, he was pretty much saying why he laid out Ricky last week. Said Starks isn't going to do a damn thing about what he did to his injured neck. I love Juice in these roles. He's going to be so much fun. We had our TBS title match. Jade Cargill with Layla Gray defeated Nicole Matthews to retain the TBS title. And so Nicole Matthews, she was a 17-year vet. She wrestled in Shimmer. But everyone was kind of like, oh, that was her opponent. I mean, the opponent was already in the ring. So I think right then and there, even my brain was like, okay, this isn't her. You know, this isn't who this segment's about. And we were talking last week, but Nicole Matthews kind of has a similar situation right now to Mike Bailey, where, you know, it was a travel visa instead of a work visa. So she got banned from, I believe, America for 5 years. So similar thing that happened to Mike Bailey. And, you know, she's making the best of it. And they were in Canada. I thought Jade beat her pretty quick. Renee went to interview Jade. Talks about wanting Canada's best. Cargill actually backed Renee into the corner saying, isn't she from Canada? She kissed her forehead. And then Taya Valkyrie makes her entrance to a pretty good ovation, like a pretty good pop. She gets right in the face of Cargill before leaving. She hits Layla Gray with the Jaded, but that's also her move, as we found out on Rampage. And yeah, so Jade Cargill, Taya Valkyrie, that's a pretty big opponent for Jade. Again, we covered last week about the success that Taya's had. I mean, she's
got a massive star. She has to be. They've done it too many times where they teased up somebody coming into the company and losing to Jade immediately. You can't do it again. You have to have her beat her.
I Taya would make sense to beat her. And yeah,
I mean, it's the same finisher. It's, dude, it would be so perfect. And then maybe Jade can either go after the world title, which I don't think you should do right away. I think you should let her cool off a little bit. I know people are gonna be like, what, let her cool off?
There's a way they could book this to where they do more than one match too. Like,
that's true. Let Jade get a rematch. If anybody exactly, deserves like, a rematch for a title,
like, we've also never seen Jade. Like, Jade's been so dominant. We've never seen Jade cheat. Like what happens when someone actually gets close to Jade and maybe she freaks out and cheats to win? All of a sudden, you know, then you could call for another match between the two.
You know, I just figured out how you do it. You know how they had Tony Khan announce changes via the earpiece in Tony Schiavone? You just, after their match, you have Tony Khan say, because of how dominant of a champion that Jade was, and we're going to give her a chance to win the title back, even though that's not the traditional way we do things in AEW. And that's all you have to do.
Exactly. So,
yeah. Anything can make sense in wrestling if you just let it. Like,
there are so many stories they could tell with this. And Taya Valkyrie, our last but not least, our third All Elite this week. So Sarah Stocks, Stu Grayson, and Taya Valkyrie, very welcome face again to the women's division. I think the women's division in AEW is building up stronger and stronger. We're building more stars.
I like the song she came out to, too. Like, it was all, and, it was all,
yeah, cool. Josiah Williams is one of his songs, too. So, again, he has another song that's All Elite. Really cool to see. So, yeah, I'm excited about this. We talk about it all the time. It doesn't hurt to add more talent.
And if any part of the AEW roster needs filling right now, it's the women's division. Because there's just not enough people in the North American area. Like, there's just, I know there's most, like, what, there's probably, like, what, like, three or four Joshi women that are actually on AEW contracts right now. But, like, I'm just saying, you know what I mean? Like, there's also a lot of women that are, like, clearly not mainstays like your Diamantes, your Madison Reigns. They're not going to get many shots at titles.
Yeah, we're going to start seeing some of more of these people just primarily probably be on Ring of Honor and Dark. So
absolutely,
I'm assuming like Madison Reign, for example.
Yeah, like I would like to see Diamante get maybe a little run on Ring of Honor. I think she can do something.
I think
she'd
be great in Ring of Honor. Let her be Trish's next opponent. Easy, boom,
boom.
Tony Schiavone's backstage with Ricky Starks said it was relevant to be in Bullet Club in 2015. If that's an issue, if it's an issue that Starks has with Robinson, they can do anytime, any place. So cool to note for that. A little bit of a hype video with the new Shazam movie, mixed in with clips from Orange Cassidy and Jeff Jarrett, shown ahead of their international title match. The debut edition of QTV is live.
All right, Charlie, I got to fucking ask you. I got to ask you this question. We'll go through the rest of it. Who the fuck was the girl in this segment?
So the girl was Harley Cameron. It was a few weeks ago. We covered a match of hers on Dark.
Okay.
Where she won the match, and we were like, well, clearly they got something for her.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Harley Cameron, she, I believe, has been in the business a little bit. God, I want to say it was like a group with Scarlett, maybe. Could be mixing a little bit there, but.
Could be.
Yeah, she got that win on Dark. It was two people I'd never heard of. And I was like, well, she's good looking. She wrestles pretty decent. And what do you know? They found a spot for her.
There you go. Okay.
QTV. It's QT Marshall.
That's why I asked, because she was good. I thought she was great in this.
I thought she crushed this role. I believe she's married to Zion Quinn, who is a NXT wrestler. He was the rugby guy. So Australians.
Okay. Hey,
keeping
why not?
We love our Australian good brothers around here. So yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm going to go to an Australian indie match and I'm going to watch it. And it's going to be 5 stars and no one's going to know about it. It's going to be glorious.
So QTV is basically TMZ. Harley Cameron is the girl. They cut to a video of Aaron Solo breaking in Wardlow's car. And oh my God, did everyone believe that was real? I did. Yeah. That was pretty genius. Smashed the window, stole the title, because everyone bought it. Because the break-in capital in the world is the fucking Bay Area, pretty much. So everyone bought it. And I mean, again, people bought into it too, because this happened to Chris Jericho. His title got stolen. I mean, literally. Solo looked good in this. Marshall talked about Wardlow leaving in his passport so he can't get to Canada. Thought that was a nice little touch. They pretty much compare Wardlow to a less successful Batista. Laugh. Hobbs will have an open challenge on Rampage for the title. They quickly fill that slot, which I thought was smart. Hobbs doing open challenges, again, I love that. I think the TNT title and open challenges has a good history. It creates fun matches. And as we've seen before,
dude, let's be real.
Just lose it.
These two mid-card championships, we have our United States and Intercontinental championships now, and they function in the same way. You have your workhorse title, that's Orange Cassidy's title right now. And you have your, this is going to be on the show, being defended in open challenges title. And that's what we have with Hobbs and the TNT title. It's perfect. It's perfect. And then the TBS title is a what do you want to call that? Like a special event title. You know what I mean? It's so perfect with the way they book wrestling.
Yeah. And so, yeah, some people really hated QTV. Some people.
What? Really?
Yep. Some people have been really dunking on this. Saying,
well, people are allowed to be wrong. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing. I think for what it was and the talent that QT Marshall brings, people still underestimate his talent. This guy knows what he's doing. And I thought this was a lot of fun. It was short. It was to the point. And they're keeping Aaron Solo along for this. I think that's the right call.
I think in this case, because maybe not, because if people are already ragging on it, they're never, because AEW and non-AEW
I think it was
have
that,
this history
it was,
of as soon as they dislike something in AEW, it's never good, no matter whether it's good, which sucks.
To that I say, fuck them. We need to run with this, and I think this gimmick should be big. Again, we said this before, I think I would not be surprised if Powerhouse Hobbs is the one to restore a long title reign to this belt. So
yeah, when Wardlow beats him in 2 weeks, it'll be fine.
I hope him and Wardlow are done, but that might not be. Okay, I'm going to have you take the lead here. Orange Cassidy, Jeff Jarrett, AEW International title match. What'd you think of this?
So I went into this thinking Jeff Jarrett was winning this championship, and I was like fine with it. I didn't like it, but I was fine with it, you know?
Yeah, same.
And that's not what happened. Spoilers. Jeff Jarrett took on Orange Cassidy for the AEW International Championship. Like you said, we had some devastating kicks from Jeff Jarrett at one point. Pausing, you'll miss it moment. I might be wrong, so I'm gonna clarify here that I don't know for a fact that this is what I saw. But they battled over toward the commentary area at one point, and they went by the Spanish announce table. And I saw a lady sitting there in some nice-looking clothes. And I'm just saying, Charlie, did we get our first view of Thunder Rosa on Dynamite in God knows how long?
I believe we did.
It might have been some random commentator that they used, but it's kind of interesting because I know that there was a story a little while back that she was going to be doing commentary for Spanish commentary, right? So if she's still doing that, then maybe it was her. If not, I just saw a random Spanish announcer lady. I'm pretty sure we saw Thunder Rosa, though, so that's a fucking big deal. I'm sorry, you know, if it was her. But if it wasn't, then hey, shout out to the Spanish announce lady. Had some nice clothes. But anyway, yeah, so the story of this match was the predetermined attack on the leg from the previous week was basically what he was trying to get at. Let me see what happened in here. At one point, Cassidy got yeeted. That was pretty funny. There was a sharp, you know, it all hinged on him hitting the sharpshooter in Canada, basically, because, you know, big pop. Which, I mean, if you think about it, you know, he went after the leg, but I guess Orange Cassidy is just a fucking animal. He doesn't care. He'll still fucking put you in a sharpshooter anyway.
Yeah, bro. He doesn't give a fuck.
He had a one-legged kick. He had a one-legged kip up at one point. There were shenanigans all over the place in this match, I must say. But, you know, it is what it is. That's, you know, it's wrestling. But the one-legged kip up is maybe one of my favorite things I've ever seen because, God, that I can't imagine how many times that took a practice. And I also wouldn't put it past Orange Cassidy to not practice it at all and still nail it, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, love that spot. Great match. Best title reign in AEW rolls on, man. This only gets bigger and badder and better. And the longer he's champion and the longer, because whoever beats Orange Cassidy for this title, I mean, unless just nobody cares about it, which maybe they don't. But for me, whoever wins that title, they're putting a lot of stock into, you know?
Absolutely. It's been such a fun title reign. And you put it very well. I enjoyed this match for what it was. I was actually surprised by the result. I thought Jarrett was winning it. I really bought into Jarrett winning it, especially I think he like clubbed him over the head with something at one point. I was like, oh, there it is. That makes sense. Now, it was not the case. Orange Cassidy retains. AEW International Champion lives on. Maybe he's still holding this through Forbidden Door. I mean, who knows? And yeah, people love Orange Cassidy's champion.
I kind of hope that he does just purely to see what opponent they give him, which they also might just not have him on that show because they didn't have the TNT championship on it last year. So,
yeah, we'll have to see. Maybe he can face Vikingo. Fuck it. Just start booking everyone against
him. Send it in.
Quick music video for the Acclaimed. Instead of promos, these guys get music videos, man. It's fucking awesome.
Dude, I like this. A surprise song from the Acclaimed. Normally they announce it. This was great to just have out of nowhere. As soon as it hit, I was like, oh, we should get this like every week for like, I mean, and then it'll be anticipated. But I'm saying like, they should just not announce it and every couple weeks do this for a little while when they're not like in a main story, you know?
Have this act always stick out. And this is an easy way to do it. It's pretty much the music video. Just a common line here was them about being the people's choice. Which they're in a little program now with 2.0. So yeah, it's good stuff. Excalibur talks about them being homegrown talent, which leads us to the next segment. As you said, these next ladies wouldn't be fans of theirs. The Outcasts hit the ring. Saraya, Soho, and Storm told the fans to shut their mouths. Soho said once upon a time, the grass was supposed to be greener in AEW until the two bitches that aren't housebroken pissed all over the greens. Or pissed all over the grass. Saraya said they're going to show that AEW is their house. As without them, there wouldn't be a women's division, which got some good boos, which is the point. I loved it. You know, they go on about their neck beards and all that. Storm said she didn't put a smile on her face when she was interim champion.
Hey, speaking of neck beards and touch and grass, go ahead and touch some neck beards.
God damn it. She's the interim champion, but the fans didn't respect her. They are the Outcasts and love going through all the rookies like Sky Blue, Willow, Riho, Baker, and Hater. Right on cue, Hater and Baker sprint to the ring, put a beating on the Outcasts. Baker
Bro,
took off her
belt. They
were
running like a 4.340 to the ring.
Yeah, they were. I want to get that time. But she was about to whip Soho, was jumped by Saraya and Storm. Baker was laid out with a destination unknown. Storm hit the Storm Zero on Hayter. Riho runs out with a fucking pipe!
She was ready to bust somebody's head open.
I love Riho. She runs out with Nightingale and Blue. She's chasing them off with a pipe. Everyone should fear the Riho.
Riho was like, I will brain you.
And she should. Hayter gave a nod to Riho. Well, Baker was a little more reluctant. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. But I thought this was fine. Back to back. I'm liking what the Outcasts are doing. And I think we're getting Storm versus Sky Blue next week. So the beatdowns of the rookies continue.
That
I'm
could
sure
be
that's...
potentially a really good match, but they probably will have it be more of a squash, which whatever.
I hope we keep going back to this era of our Toni Storm matches on Dynamite, because holy fuck, last year when she had that run, it was so good.
That's how she so won Wrestler good. Of the Year for me, dude. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. Menard and Parker talk about the Acclaim music video. Menard said it made his nipples hard with how entertaining it was. They told the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass to watch on Rampage to get a taste. I can't with these guys, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's so fucking Canadian, it hurts.
Oh, yeah, bud.
And then we covered the main event. Okay, AEW Rampage. This is a bit of a weird one.
Rampage, baby.
In terms of the timing of it, because of the NCAA tournament, and it was... I know, personally, for me, my recording, I got the first match. And then I had to find the others through YouTube and stuff. So, yeah. AEW Rampage. Rampage, baby! St. Patrick's Day Slam. Okay. Powerhouse Hobbs with QT Marshall and the QTV crew. I like that they had Cameron taking the pictures there. And I gotta tell you, though. I could get behind some trios matches. Even some tags with Solo and Hobbs. It's some trios with Marshall, Solo, and Hobbs.
Absolutely.
Solo and Hobbs could be a fun little tag. But this match against Rey Fénix, this was fucking awesome. They were out there. Literally, Rey Fénix is so good at what he does. And I say it every time we get it. I always love when we get Rey Fénix solo matches. Because the guy is such a great solo talent, too. Like, in singles. And he's such a great trios and tag, and he brings a different element every time. This was really fun, and what a fucking first defense for Powerhouse Hobbs. If this is setting the table for what's to come, holy shit, count me in. Pretty much the end of the match here, you know, it goes down after Fénix was just laid the fuck out. He ends up recovering. He hits a frog splash, gets a near fall. Three super kicks, tries for another rolling cutter. Hobbs catches him with a big spine buster, hit the town business, got the pinfall. After the match, QT Marshall gave Aberhantis the diamond cutter. Thought that was fun. I thought the whole QTV crew actually added like some extra
agreed.
Elements.
Yes, seeing them out there made this feel more serious to me. I don't know why, but it did.
It works.
Because
I think
of seeing
really
them on Dynamite,
work.
Dude. Like, if you watched Dynamite and Rampage back-to-back, which I didn't, but if you did, it would flow so nicely because I feel like as a show, that worked so well because they went straight from that cliffhanger and then they went straight into a story. They were also interested in seeing where it went because we only got really a taste of it on Dynamite, you know? Bro, if people need a frame of reference for Vikingo, by the way, if anybody remembers when Rey Fénix was not in AEW, when Rey Fénix was the guy in Lucha Underground, when he was just known as Fénix, right? And yeah. He was going around and he was just lighting everything up. If that's your frame of reference. If you don't understand why I'm so interested in this Vikingo guy and why Charlie is as well and why everybody else is, it's because he's reaching those levels of hype that Fénix was this like phenom for years. It just existed out there and just didn't sign anywhere because he just didn't want to, I guess, you know, like.
And
he was,
Vikingo can do some athletic ability, like some shit that Vikingo can do. He's one of the only people that can do.
Which is kind of like why putting him against Kenny is such a big deal, because Kenny is the same way. There's only one Kenny, you know what I mean? There only ever will be one Kenny,
yes.
You know? Anyway.
Little Adam Cole promo, March 29th, hey, his return. His opponent is still unknown. Destination! All right.
Any ideas?
No, I have no idea. I
tough wrestler.
It'd be cool if it's Jay White, but I don't think it's going to be.
I don't think it's going to be either, no.
Yeah. That'd be really big for multiple reasons, but.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Especially with all the Elite stuff going on. Oh, my God. Can you imagine the chaos if you have Jay White, Adam Cole, and Hangman Adam Page potentially being members of the Elite? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Let's just get him out there with someone safe. And that's not me pointing fingers. You know what I mean? I mean, almost someone like a QT Marshall.
I almost like using the word safe more to just mean like a safe, like credible opponent. You know what I mean?
Like someone who trains wrestlers, like a QT Marshall.
I don't even mean safe from like a wrestling person. I just a safe opponent, someone he's not going to have a bad match with, you know? Like,
yeah. Preston Vance would be good.
That would be awesome, actually.
Guys that are going to be quite literally coaches, trainers in this business for eons to come. Yeah. So Grayson cut a promo from the fucking hospital. Evil Uno was recovering from a concussion, suffered at the hands of Moxley. He's back in AEW, and he challenged Moxley to Dynamite Wednesday. Good
Let's
shit.
Go. Let's go.
I thought this was executed well. This is our like eighth time in a row. We can make this joke all night. Another story here. but AEW doesn't tell stories. That's fine. So, yeah, I thought this was fun. Taya Valkyrie defeated Ava Lawless. We've seen her a couple times.
Yeah, but what was the story, Charlie?
Yeah, what was the story? And she hit her version of the Jaded. I don't have the name. They had a name. Do you have it by chance?
Oh, fuck. I didn't write it down.
You didn't? That's okay. We'll get that as time goes on. After the match, Jade and her entourage took some notes on Valkyrie. I see Sterling's back there. Looks nice. Vignette of Matt Hardy and Ethan Page training Stokely for his match next week.
I wanted this so badly. I spoke this segment into existence. I don't care what anybody says.
This is so good. Oh, I love this so much. Stokely's scared shitless of Hook. That's going to be fun.
Yes.
What do you know? Another story that we're getting, right?
Yeah, but what's the build?
2.0 defeated the Bollywood Boys. When they go to Canada, they've been picking up the Bollywood Boys. I think they're fun.
Put them in Ring of Honor. They're so good.
Yep, they would fit. And I think they've wrestled on Rampage two or three times.
Yeah,
now,
they feel like they're like orbiters at this point. Like they're just waiting until they have that one match that Tony's like, oh yeah, let's go. You know,
exactly. This was really good. And yeah, so pretty much during the match, it was announced. The Powerhouse Hobbs and Christopher Daniels thing. Again, since they're announcing that on TV, I'm assuming it counts.
I was hoping this match, by the way, would be more because a while ago on Dark Commentary, as a throwaway line, Matt Menard mentioned that they had history with the Bollywood Boys, which now that I think about it makes sense. Canadians, you know what I mean? Like
yep.
That. But like,
must not have had the time.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Maybe they mentioned it and they were
just having an hour show and having that big match at the beginning.
Maybe it was like one of those things where they're like, well, I'll give you the match, but I can't let you guys build anything. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. We just want to have them.
Get your shit in.
Yeah.
But yeah, double team implant DDT for the win. Don Callis greets Konosuke Takeshita with flowers and a Japanese drummer when he arrived at the Winnipeg airport. 30-second video package hyped up Wednesday's match between Omega and El Hijo del Vikingo. The jokes? Fuck. All right. Daniel Garcia, the Riz Lord. Riz God, one of one, defeats Brody King. But Danny Garcia here, the big story was, you know, he had a tweet and he's pretty much, it was the video of him trying to, you know, do his little dance in front of Julia Hart. And he quoted it and said, I don't even know why I try with white girls anymore, man. It's like, this fucking guy is hilarious. There's a brilliant Twitter account called Daniel Garcia deleted tweets. And because he's one of those guys who will tweet it, then delete it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he has so much fun with that.
Yeah, but. I don't know anything about that. I've never done that in my life. That's never, you can't, you, the, yeah, that's, oh, God. I probably shouldn't even say that because now people are going to find some of the shit I've deleted. Oh, God.
But this was fun. Pretty much the end here, Jericho popped Brody King with his bat behind the ref's back. Garcia locked in a Dragon Sleeper to get the KO victory. This is a big win for Garcia. He beat Brody King in the main event. Someone who we've been talking about. I mean, this guy looks like a monster in every match he's in.
I mean, they cheated. I mean,
it doesn't matter. He beat Brody King. On the stat sheet, now he officially beats Brody King. I think going forward again this year, we're going to see some more success from Daniel Garcia. I don't know what title he's going to hold. It could be a tag. It could be a trios. It could be a singles. It could be the world. He's going to be a fucking champion. Tony Khan believes in this guy. God damn it, I do too. God. But yeah. Other than that, what'd you think of the Riz God? And any other thoughts you had on the match?
Yeah, the Riz Lord himself. Like I said, Brody being treated like a behemoth, great. Shellacking, that got said. Brody almost like throws himself into certain bumps like with the recklessly like Darby does. It's crazy. Imagine them as a tag. Ooh. Anyway.
Yeah. Remember their little feud? How fun that was?
Yeah, the little mini feud for the TNT title, dude. That was great. Not for the TNT. I think that was for a shot, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I think they just hated each other. I don't even remember.
No, I think it spun out of Darby maybe having a title shot or something. Yeah. I don't remember. The point is,
I just remember them showing that footage of him jumping him at a signing, beating the hell out of him, putting him through a table. I was like, dude, that is so good.
Oh, yeah. I think that was just one of those. Yeah, that was a unique story because they just did that one. They were at the same signing. I wonder if they just did that because they were at a signing and they were like, fuck it, let's get booked on TV, you know?
Yeah.
I could see Kim Kapoor doing that. But anyway. Like not actually fighting, but like doing like a quick, like for the people that were there, you know, like anyway, he's just the evil behemoth, man. And, Jericho and Julia at ringside are good. I was thinking about JS versus House of Black. And I think that feud as itself as a trios feud might actually have more legs than if they went back with the Elite, because yeah, there, you can run that back and that's great. But I think if you run, like if Julia can have matches potentially with Ty and Anna, which she can't obviously right now, but say they were to run it long enough that they those two can come back, maybe that's something you could do. And I think it'd be awesome if she beat them both at the same time. That'd be pretty cool, you know. But I don't think that's gonna happen. So, but I'm saying, like, it's got legs. I feel like that feud, and it will also give that title a longer term storyline. Which, if it's in line with the way the JAS storylines have gone, they won't get a title shot for a while, and it'll be a long title reign, or at least longer. You know, so. Well, you know what I mean. Like, I feel like we could.
Yeah, I think the potential's there for it too, where we could have some good fun with it. I just with Sammy going probably for the world championship now. I don't know. I don't know what story they're going to pick, but either way, we know the matches are going to be fun.
Right? I mean, there's more members of the JAS than just Sammy. Yeah. You know, it could be Hager.
2.0 and Jericho. Hager. Yeah, you could create some fun stuff. So next week, we got announced so far, AEW Tag Team Championship will be on the line. The Guns defend against Top Flight. Kenny Omega versus El Hijo del Vikingo. John Moxley versus Stu Grayson. Tony Storm versus Sky Blue. And Hook in a no DQ match versus Stokely Hathaway. I expect the crowd to be a lot of fun next week.
Absolutely.
And those five matches, that's a fun show. The Ass Boys. And I believe earlier this morning I saw Dax Harwood tweeting about they've officially made a decision. Once they're legally allowed to let everyone know, they'll let everyone know what's going on. So,
okay, so they must be under contract then.
Yeah, so whether they're going AEW, you know, Federation, you name it, New Japan, NOAH, Impact, wouldn't that be something? But, yeah, I guess
it's interesting that it's within the contract that they can't. It must be something either about. That this doesn't lean one way or the other, either about where they currently work and where they're going to work. They don't want them to say it just yet so they can build hype to it, which I would get, or reverse that. If they are staying, they want to build hype to when they announce that, if that makes sense. Either way, it works out. It's by the not saying anything, you know, so.
Yeah, either way, it'll be fun. So
legally allowed to. That's fascinating, though. It's written in something that they signed that they can't say it yet. That's fascinating to me, you know?
Yeah. And we'll have to keep an eye on that. But other than that, that'll be it for us, guys. So hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll be back next week with even more wrestling. And then, my God, after that, we're going to be getting into the big shows there. We're almost up to Mania weekend with all those shows that are going to be going down. So we're going to have some fun with that.
Do we care about anything on Mania, like at all, other than Cody?
Yeah, the card, yeah, I mean... I don't know. It looks like it's going to be all right.
But... I mean, we're going to review it, but do we care? It's the question, you know?
That's the hard part, right? I don't even know right now if I care about a lot of it. I mean, I'm going to be a little annoyed if Cody doesn't win.
You don't think there's a real chance of that, do you?
They might want Roman to hit 1,000 days. If you pull the trigger on Sammy
now, you just get even more hate, right?
It's one of those things that I think they might want Roman Reigns to get the 1,000-day title reign. So, and you have to beat Cody to do it. He's that close. So, yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that. That's going to be interesting. So.
That's okay, though. Did you not see the discourse about the Royal Rumble winner needing to main event every time? And that if they don't main event, that it's a problem. And then they listed off all the different times that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some drama this week about that because it sounds like it's going to be Charlotte and Rhea main eventing, which is a program doesn't seem to have a lot of heat. Meanwhile, the two biggest storylines are Roman versus Cody and what's going to be the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And those are the two biggest storylines, and they're not going to let the other one main event. Sucks, but yeah. Who knows? I guess we'll find out, right? So that'll be it for us, guys.
I feel like there's not a right opinion to have about that because you can say, well, they should stick to the storyline, but then that just makes you seem like a stickler. And then if you say, well, they shouldn't, well, then... what's the significance of winning the Rumble then? It's a dumb question that nobody should have asked because it doesn't have a good answer.
Yeah, and if they just would have had people win the Rumble main event every time, it wouldn't have been a problem. But that's, as we saw, not been the case. So, yep. Thanks for checking this episode out, guys, and we'll catch you next week. See ya!
Peace.
Really?